Good morning. Welcome. We welcome all members and visitors. It's wonderful to have everybody here this morning. We welcome all who enter our sanctuary. We hope this will be an hour of a journey of the heart and renewal of spirit. And let us take a pause in our lives this morning to worship our Lord. Father, we do ask that you take a moment to fill out the ritual friendship cards in the back of the pews. And that's always true for members and visitors. We appreciate knowing our visitors, and we also need any opportunity for people to communicate what they might need to communicate to the office and to Reverend Chris. So please take a moment to fill that out. Do want to note Reverend Chris's office hours are listed on the back of our calendar. Tuesday will be our work day. Monday evening is our ladies' Bible study. We moved it from last Monday because of VBS, so we will be meeting tomorrow night at 7. We will be starting the new study that I passed out, and I do have extra copies if I somehow missed someone. So we will have that tomorrow evening at 7. Today is VBS open house, and we're inviting everyone to linger to not only see the refreshments, but to stroll through the storybook forest that was amazingly and wonderfully created. They're just, every year they awe me of what they do. So we're asking you to please, if you can, stay a few minutes for that. Janice is, on behalf of the Evangelism Committee, organizing a car wash on August 15th. It's coming Saturday from 10 to 12. It's a free car wash, and please let her know if you can help. So Janice is looking for... So she has a sign-up sheet there. Thank you, Janice. Okay, our senior youth group is going to Kennywood on August 24th, and they do you still need one adult? So we still need an adult to chaperone and provide transportation, and I'll let Reverend Chris know if you can help with that. At this time, Trina is going to do an announcement about MOPS.
Hi, you may have seen in your newsletter that we're starting a new group at church. It's for mothers of preschoolers and from birth to preschool. So if you know any mothers of young kids, it's going to be the first Tuesday of every month, meeting here at the church at 5:30, from 5:30 to 7:30. We'll have snacks, crafts, and a little Bible study. There's childcare provided for the kids, so if you know anyone who'd be interested and needs some mom time or some mom friends, please invite them. I have a new flyer if you'd like an invitation for yourself or for someone you know, or if you'd like to put it up in the community. Any questions? Okay. We're also looking for help if you'd like to donate snacks for our meetings or crafts. Thank you.
Thank you, Trina, very much. We very much appreciate what Trina and Tina are doing. If anyone's been a parent of a very young child, they could appreciate the need for this kind of program. So we're very excited that our church is being a part of that. Thank you, ladies. Are there any other announcements I may have overlooked? Okay, at this time then, welcome again to the Lord's Day. It's our great privilege and responsibility on this day to worship the risen Lord. Let us take a moment now in a time of silence as we prepare our hearts and our minds to worship Him. At this time, the community comes together to serve God in worship. Our opening hymn is going to be in the Red Chalice Hymnal. We will be singing number 86, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Again, in the Red Chalice Hymnal, number 86. We pray, Almighty God, that this hour may be for us a transforming experience, that we may experience a new outpouring of your love, that we may be strengthened to face the challenges of life, that we may learn to respect and serve others, and that we may become the persons that you have called us to become. Let us bow for the prayer, followed by the Lord's Prayer, please. As we come to worship, Father God, we ask to be delivered from any hidden sins that would keep us from you, to be delivered from any unworthy purpose that would sabotage our commitment, and to be delivered from any resentment that would erect barriers against each other, for we wish to worship with clean hearts and an undivided loyalty. For it is in your name we pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated. At this time, the community comes together to share tithes and offerings. God has challenged us to be a community that cares for each other, honors each other, prays for each other, and works shoulder to shoulder to make a better world. Let us accept that challenge as our offering is received. Our offertory hymn in the Red Chalice Hymnal, we will be singing verses 1 and 2 of number 115, There Is Something About That Name.
As we give, we acknowledge our obligation to each other as a community of faith and of our obligation to work together for the welfare of the world. Amen.
Please be seated. This time the community proclaims the word of God. Our first scripture reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 12, and I'll be reading verses 22 to 31. And that's found in the New Testament portion of your pew Bible on page 74. He said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouses nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? If then you are not able to do so small a thing as that, why do you worry about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not keep striving for what you are to eat and what you are to drink, and do not keep worrying. For it is the nations of the world that strive after all these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, strive for his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well." The word of the Lord. This time, our anthem by our sanctuary choir, "Count Your Blessings."
Good morning, and welcome to the Christian Church of Connellsville. As we are indeed blessed, we should count our blessings as we gather today. We have been blessed with a beautiful day. We've been blessed with a wonderful church and church family. And we've been blessed with the gifts of children who will sing for us in a few minutes after they, as we celebrate the blessings of our vacation Bible school that we had this week. Indeed, we give thanks to God for all those who helped make it possible, all those who worked so hard to put it together, all those who came to enjoy and to learn, and especially we are blessed by our director, Melissa Oler. Hopefully we'll have a chance to thank her later in the service or perhaps after the service at our coffee hour. We are also blessed to worship a loving God, a good God, a great and wonderful God who has given us life, who has given us breath, and who has given us purpose as we strive to build God's kingdom. For God gives us grace and abundance and life in abundance, and does so now and eternally hereafter. And we have been blessed also with God's word given to us through the scriptures to speak to one another and to calm our spirits and warm our hearts. And so we've been also blessed with the opportunity to speak to God, not necessarily face to face, not necessarily person to person, but heart to heart through prayer. And so as we gather to lift up our prayers this morning, let's begin by counting our blessings. Let's begin by sharing the good news that's happening within our lives that we want to give thanks to God for. What are the thanksgivings we have to share this morning, the joys to give before God today? Janice?
My son's car, son and daughter-in-law's car died this week.
That's a great joy. We give thanks to God for unseen blessings where things look bad, but then something great happens. Cheryl.
I was going to say our children and our church are a blessing.
Indeed they are, and we are also blessed by many people who are non-members of our church who entrust their children with us for their education and their well-being. We give thanks for all you who are here today. If you are a guest or if you're not members, if you had not had a chance to do so, please fill out the cards that are in front of you in the pews, just so that we can send a note of thanks and invitation to come again and worship with us. What a wonderful blessing. Thank you. Deb? We give thanks that John's doing better and hope that he continues to heal fully. We want to lift our prayers of thanksgiving up for Jackie and her family. They had the funeral for Snook this past week, but also were able to enjoy some time off and some time together. And so we rejoice with them. Consequently, I did the bulletin, so sorry, choir, for sticking in with an extra verse of that last hymn there. That's my fault. And I also want to give thanks to God. Today is my 12th wedding anniversary. It seems hard to believe it has gone, it's been that long, 12 years today. So, and next week, not only can you commiserate with Jesse in person upon her 12 years, also my brother's coming in this week, and my sister-in-law, so they'll be with us next week also to worship and to celebrate. Tina? News. We rejoice with them. And you also asked us a prayer for our family member who was having their first child. Did everything go well? The Michaela family? That's wonderful news. We give thanks for that incredible blessing. And let's continue to share blessings with one another. Let's also share concerns and prayer requests also now. Linda?
I'd like prayer for an important interview to go well for a loved one.
We'll pray for that and hope that God's will be done there. Teresa? Pray for that. Thank you. Tina?
Remember me in the bulletin prayer. We did get some good news this week, but the sad part is we have to move to the we were able to get one of the women from housing developments. They had an apartment available. So just pray that I'll be able to find a church up there or
we'll pray for that. It's good news, bad news there. Thank you for sharing that with us today. But there are others. Seeing none other, let us take a moment of silence as we prepare to go to the Lord in prayer. Steadfast God, God of faith and grace, call to us now. Carry us out of our fears and doubts into the glorious message of your saving love and constant presence. Walk with us, O God, as we renew our faith, discern your call in our lives, and journey forth as disciples of Christ. Faithful One, reach out to us with your grace and mercy. Forgive us when we sink into sin and when we too easily accept our shortcomings. Forgive us when we do not venture forth, when you call us forward in faith. As we call upon your holy name, reclaim us with your mercy and grace, that we may be your children, forgiven, renewed, and emboldened in the greatness of your living faith. We give you thanks for all that you have blessed us with, for children born into our lives, children who have come to worship with us and sing with us, adults who were sick and are getting better. We give you thanks that John is doing better today. For anniversaries and celebrations and birthdays and moments of life, which we must celebrate and give thanks for. For jobs lost, for things that look bad but turn out well, for jobs lost that are then gained. For cars that break down, but people who help to repair them and to do so cheaply. We give you thanks that even in the dark clouds there are silver linings. Help us to search for them, to find them, to see them, and to celebrate them. For we know that you are in all things. And as we count our blessings, Lord, we give thanks for all these, but we also lift up our concerns and know that you who have given us so much can give us still more. But we know that we cannot demand it, but simply ask. We pray for those who are sick that they may be made well. We pray for those whose surgeries are coming. We pray that they may go successfully. We pray for those who have been struggling mentally or spiritually that their clouds may be lifted, and that they may see the light of your Son, Christ. We pray for Anna as she prepares to move to Oregon. We give you thanks that her house may be sold soon. We pray that she will also have luck in finding a job. We pray for the relative, the friend, the person who's seeking an interview. We pray that it will go well. May the words they speak be your words. May all, if it is your will, may this job or position be granted. And we pray for Tina as she and her family move forward. We pray that you will help to guide them either to a new church home or to help us to continue to bring them to our church. But whatever be your will, Lord, we pray that all people will turn constantly to you to draw their inspiration from you, their hope and their consolation from you, and their wisdom and guidance from you. For these things we pray, Lord, as your church and as your family. These things we pray as your children in this world, as we strive to help others to follow you in your name and in your grace. In your name we pray. Amen. And now as the children come forward, we look forward to the wonderful treat that our kids who have been singing all week at the leadership, the direction of Cheryl Keller, the song leader from Acacia Bible School. They'll be presenting three songs that they've been working on all week for us. And so all the kids who have been singing with Acacia Bible School, we invite you to head over where Cheryl is, and she will direct you. And if you're not part of the choir, they'll invite you to stay here and to enjoy. Thank you. Let's hear it again for our kids, and let's hear it again for Cheryl and Janice, who helped lead. We give thanks to all those who helped to put together the Vacation Bible School, as well as teachers, and especially our director right there. If you'll raise your hand, Melissa. Yes, let's hear it from Melissa. Thank you, kids. You can go to your classes now. Yes. I do hope that you all have a chance to stay after the service for the coffee hour, the refreshments and treats that await us there, as well as to take a look at the rooms. They've been wonderfully decorated, elaborately decorated, if you haven't seen them. And I hope that you have a chance to see what your kids have seen, and maybe they can even teach you what they learned a bit. And now our second scripture lesson today comes from the book of Revelation, chapter 11, verses 15 to 19. Where we read, "Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, 'The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever.' Then the 24 elders who sit on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, singing, 'We give you thanks, Lord God Almighty, who are and who were, for you have taken your great power and begun to reign. The nations rage, but your wrath has come, and the time for judging the dead, for rewarding your servants, the prophets and saints, and all who fear your name, both small and great, and for destroying those who destroy the earth.' Then God's temple in heaven was opened, and the ark of his covenant was seen within his temple, and there were flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, an earthquake, and heavy hail. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." As we gather this morning, we continue preaching on the windows of our church. And I do apologize, when I brought up this picture, it was the right way up, so I'm not sure how I messed that up. But this is one of the windows of our church that is a lily, and it reminds us of Jesus Christ, who told us to consider the lilies. And when he did so, when he was telling his parable to his disciples to consider the lilies, he was probably not referring to one of these. He was probably referring to one of these. These are scarlet martagon lilies. And they look very similar to lilies you have seen, but of course, these ones are bright red. They are scarlet in color. And the reason that he probably was referring to these is that these are the kind that are very common in the Middle East. These are very common in Jordan and along the River Jordan, where he was preaching and where he was teaching. And where he had gathered thousands of people who came to him to hear his wisdom, and he told them, "Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Indeed, lilies are the perfect symbols of peace." Listen as he continued, he said to them, "They neither toil nor spin. Even in Solomon in all his glory, they were not clothed like these. Even the great and wise king could not buy clothes that would make them look as simple as these flowers. They are beautiful, and they grow in still and placid waters, but even in harsh climates they can thrive. Many members of the lily order show adaptations to arid climates. During unfavorable periods, food and water are stored in bulbs or the stem. When storms befall a lake, trees can be toppled or uprooted, but the lilies remain. So consider the lilies for true peacefulness." If you've ever been to a lake to see a water lily, not only do they neither toil nor spin, but when the flood comes and they get washed away, they make it back to where they were whenever things become still. So consider the lilies for true peacefulness in your life. But peace isn't the only thing that we want in our lives. We want beauty, and oftentimes we want possessions too. We want to look good and attract others. We want to have nice things and wear nice clothes. And this desire, which is fine, can sometimes cause worry or trouble, which is not. For we, it's one thing to want to look good, it's another thing to worry about how we look or how others look. When I was young, I thought the world would end if I did not have a pair of Nike shoes, which at that time cost $50 and was quite expensive and more than my parents can afford, and nowadays it might be $150. Today, $50 shoes would be considered a bargain, but yet we still worry about how well we look or how we look compared to other people. But Jesus continues, "Consider the lilies," he says, "even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like these. Even the great and wise king could not buy clothes that would make him as beautiful as these simple flowers." Nothing then that humans create can match the splendor and magnificence of the natural beauty that God has created. So do not worry about your appearance or possessions, rather consider the lilies. But lilies are not ideal. They're not the ideal. Jesus is not saying that lilies and flowers are better than human beings. Actually, quite the opposite. It's an amazing thing for Jesus to say, "But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith?" It's not that the lilies are great. That is not the reason that God makes them so beautiful. It is that God has so much love that he makes even the grass, even the flowers of the field that will die within a year at most, beautiful. And it's frustrating to me sometimes when we buy flowers for our house and we put them in our pots and they look really nice and maybe they only last a few months. Or perhaps the plant lasts, but the bloom only lasts a few weeks. On the one hand, it's very frustrating because the beauty is so fleeting. On the other hand, it shows the wonderful bounty and beauty of God, that God would take so much care to create something so beautiful that lasts only a short period of time. If God will do this to something as insignificant as a flower, does it not stand to reason that God will do at least as much for you, if not more? But Jesus does not confine himself to speaking of things of little significance like flowers, like lilies. He then jumps to nations and kingdoms, saying, "For it is the nations of the world that strive after all these things," referring to wealth and power. I don't know that too many wars, if any, have been fought over beauty. Perhaps the war between the Greeks and the Trojans when Helen of Troy, her face launched 1,000 ships, but mostly wars are fought over power and wealth. Nations and kingdoms, as great as they are, as great as they think they are like the grass, for they too will be thrown into the oven tomorrow. When Jesus was speaking, it was the Romans who ruled the nation of Israel. Before that, it was the Greeks, and before that, the Persians. Nations rise and fall. They do last a good bit longer than flowers, to be sure, but nothing in this world is permanent. That's really the lesson he gives in that part of the passage. Nothing, even the most powerful thing that you can imagine in this world, is permanent. Think of all the powers there have been simply since the time of Christ. As the Romans were conquered by the Goths and then the Goths by the Visigoths. The Byzantine Empire thrived in Turkey before being conquered by the Ottomans. England and France and Spain each had their turn of ruling Europe. Germany took its stab at world domination along with Japan, who usurped China in the eastern part of the world. And now we've lived through the Cold War and the United States and various nations trying to rise up against one another. And even if nations remain, often their power waxes and wanes. But the love of God, the power of God, stands forever. So when we strive for power and wealth, we should remember its impermanence. We should understand that it is not he who has the most toys in the end is the winner. Instead, we should consider the lilies. But as I said, Jesus was probably talking about this scarlet martyrdom. This is the type of lily that people probably had in mind when Jesus spoke. And we don't have any of those in our windows. We have 129 stained glass windows and a lot of beautiful imagery and symbols. And we've talked about quite a number of them. We don't have any of these in our windows, but instead, We have one of these. This is the common water lily that I'm sure you're familiar with. You've probably seen. They're also abundant in the area when Jesus spoke, in the upper Jordan. They are beautiful and they are precious. One of the things that they represent to us as a religious symbol, as a Christian symbol, besides peace, is resurrection. For they come back from time to year after year. They also remind us of Moses as he led the Israelites out of Egypt, parting the waters. Because lilies, as they rest upon the water, when a time of storm comes, they will part as well as the wind rips through. And yet they remind us of resurrection, for they will return. It would have to be quite a storm to damage them. Storms that can fell trees, the lilies will survive because they know how to float and to go on the water. To go with the flow, as we may understand it today. They are beautiful things and they represent a great deal to us and they capture our imagination. They also capture the imagination of one of the greatest painters of all time, Claude Monet. The greatest of all the Impressionist painters, many would say, of the late 20th century, considered the lilies as no one before or since has. For the last 25 years of his life, he dedicated himself to painting pictures of water lilies, striving to catch the fleeting nature of their color when the light fell upon them. Here we have perhaps his most famous painting. It was also his last painting, Water Lily Pool. In this painting, Lakes and Rivers of Incredible Majesty, he focused upon the water lilies, saying that he hoped to understand the whole by the means of a fragment. Focusing upon them individually or close up, but at the same time then, creating a glimpse of their majesty as they came together. Each one individually was beautiful in and of itself, but it was them together that made them so beautiful. And in the same way, we also try to consider the whole by understanding the means of a fragment. We do this whenever we read Scripture because no one sits down to read the entire Bible all at one time. Inevitably, whenever you sit down to read the Bible, you read a section of it and you try to glean its meaning. But you understand it in terms of the whole story. And that's what we do every Sunday. For every Sunday, we only hear a small section of Scripture. And we try to interpret it within the entirety of the Bible. For if the Bible is the story of God's work in this world, of God loving the people so much that he gave his only Son, that we may live and have eternal life, when we read the passage that we have read today, of Jesus teaching his disciples and his followers to consider the lilies, then, well, we should too. Perhaps he has something that we need to know. The message of these entire 12 verses as part of the larger section, the Sermon on the Mount, is that we should not waste our life worrying. For life is good. And God is good. And it is God's good pleasure to give us what we need and more. But human nature, as we understand it, can be and is warped by sin. And we, instead of being pleased with all we have, we desire more. We want more and more and more. Often enough is never enough. And the desire brings about suffering because it brings with it worry and fear. But consider the lilies. They neither toil nor spin, and yet they have been clothed in wonderful beauty. Would not God do at least as much to you, you of little faith? Consider these lilies. These are also in our windows, and they are different. They are not the water lilies that we've seen before. They are not the scarlet lilies that were common in Jesus' time and place. But we know these very well. This one and this one. Oops. These are both Easter lilies. And of course, we have them and we use them when we celebrate Easter. And what's very interesting to me is that these would never have been seen by Jesus' followers. When he said, consider the lilies, to the people who listened to them, they were never considering these lilies. Because these lilies come from Japan. They are native to Japan and parts of China. They are Asian lilies. And they were brought to America in the early 20th century as people from Japan and China moved into Oregon and into the West, and they became very popular flowers to have to celebrate Easter. And it's interesting because there is a legend that came with them. There's a legend that Jesus Christ, when he was resurrected, when he walked, he made no footprints, but instead the lilies bloomed where he walked. And if you know anything about Buddhism, which would be the main religion of China and Japan, they also had a legend that the Buddha, wherever he walked, left no footprints, but instead lotus flowers, which are very similar to lilies, bloomed where he walked. And so it seems to me that in the same way that the flower was imported from the east to the west, so too was this story, this legend, as it came to be applied to Jesus Christ. But I don't believe ultimately that's why these flowers became so popular. And such a... I would bet that when you hear the phrase, the passage, the saying of Christ, consider the lilies, I bet there's a good chance that these are the lilies that you have in your head. Well, ultimately, there are two reasons why these flowers became so popular, why these lilies became the lilies that we have, that we decorate our church with on Easter Sunday. The first is their color. It's hard to see perhaps here, but these are white lilies, and the Easter lilies, the Asian lilies that we use to celebrate Easter, they are also white. And why is that important? Well, white represents renewal. White represents a fresh start. One of the kids asked me today, why do they always have white at weddings? Because it's fresh. It's new, and also white represents resurrection. Because we read also in the Gospels that when Christ was resurrected, he was gleaming brilliantly white. And these are beautiful white flowers. But there's one more thing. Look at their petals. Look at the way they are designed. They resemble nothing short of trumpets. Beautiful trumpet-shaped flowers. And ultimately, this type of lily was chosen to represent Easter, not only for the resurrection of Christ, but also for the promise of his coming. For they remind us of the seven trumpets of the book of Revelation, in which John of Patmos had his vision of a new world coming into being and the kingdom being established, and that was heralded. It was trumpeted by seven angels blowing seven trumpets. Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever." And so one of the great things about the Easter lily that makes it an Easter lily is not only its color, but its shape. But there is also one more thing I want you to see. The lily is pretty popular. There are a lot of lilies you will see throughout this church, and I invite you to look for them and to find them. And to see them, and sometimes they will be like this, just the one. Other times there will be three, and I'm sure we can understand three representing the Trinity. But in each case, and I believe there are a couple more lily windows in the church, in each and every case, notice that the flowers are pointing down. They are looking down. They are not upright, they are all downward. And do we know why? The lily, as the flowers bloom, often, or always, is the case, and it's the case with any flower, the blossoms, the blooms, the petals, they look down until what? Until the sun comes. And when the sun comes, then they will turn up towards the sun. And so these lilies, each and every one of them in our windows, each one made so that they are pointing down, because they are waiting for the sun to come. Just as we also, as Christians, wait for our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to come in his glory, in which case all of the trumpets will blare and declare his majesty and his wonder. And so Jesus reminds us, he implores us, he teaches us to consider the lilies. They neither toil nor spin, but they also, in addition to their beauty, trumpet our Lord's majesty and his coming into the world, and the triumphant coming of God's Son, and his great and glorious kingdom. I invite each and every one of us, as we go through life, to consider the lilies, to do it again and again and again, that we may learn so much from them. That they neither toil nor spin, that they neither worry or fear, and yet they are taken care of by God, and in doing so, represent him, sing of his praises, and trumpet his coming again. May each of us consider the lilies that all they have to teach us in our life this day and every day. Amen. And now the community comes together around the Lord's table. All those who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are invited to take the bread and the cup and partake as best suits your meditation. Let's join together as we sing our communion hymn, 384. It's true that we can learn a great deal about faith and the nature of God by looking at and enjoying flowers because they are so beautiful and they are basically God's gift to us. If you simply just drive around, you know, it starts in the spring when the forsythia blooms and the next thing you know, the daisies and the lilies are popping up and tulips perhaps. And wildflowers that I don't even know the names of just garner the highways and the byways as we go by. And it is a wonderful thing that God has blessed us with each and every day. There was one in particular that I really like, and it was a type of lily. It was orange, and you see them everywhere in the middle of the summer, and they seem to last a long time. And I was so taken with them that I wanted to have them for my yard, and I asked people who knew what they were, and each and every one of the person told me they were called tiger lilies. So then I went online, and I went to where you can buy some bulbs, and I ordered tiger lilies, and somebody lied to me. It's either the people who told me they were tiger lilies lied to me, or the people who sent me the bulbs sent me the wrong ones, because I planted them last year, and I was so excited to see they were coming up, and they don't look anything like what I was told, but they are lilies, and they are beautiful. And so at first, you know, I complained, and I was upset, but really, what complaint do I have? They were gorgeous, and they bloomed, and they looked wonderful, and that is the case with all flowers that we see. Sometimes we try very hard, and we want the control, and we want things to happen exactly as we expect, and when they don't, we get very frustrated. But we should remember that more often than not, God has something special for us in mind, and it may not be exactly what we were looking for, but I bet you it will be wonderful, and if we trust, it will be even better.
And that was the case for Jesus Christ, who said, even the night before he was to be arrested, if it be your will, let this cup pass, so that he would not have to go. And yet he said, your will be done, not my own. It was the same for the disciples, who I guarantee you did not anticipate and did not sign up for what happened, and yet afterwards would never have taken it back. God has plans for us in store. We do not know them. We do not always understand them. And we often do not want them. And we complain and we fuss and we ask for something else. But it is important for us to trust that God is good and has not only our best intentions at heart, but way more knowledge and wisdom than we could ever know. And so as we come to this table, let us give thanks to God as he gives us beauty throughout our life. Let us confess the times in which we wanted this and complained when we got that. And let us trust in his goodness to lead us forward, knowing that whatever blooms in our life is there because God has planted it. And let us consider all we have to learn because of it. And now this morning, let us pray.
Father, we are grateful for all good things which come from you, for this fresh new morning, for the beautiful children around us, for our caring church family. Now as we begin communion, Lord, may your loving spirit dwell in us as we take the bread and the cup, which we do in remembrance of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And may we in turn then carry your loving spirit with us throughout the week and feel your presence in our lives, guiding us to be the Christians you intend us to be. Amen.
For I hand unto you, it was also handed on to me, that on the night when the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took the bread. And after he blessed it, he broke it, and said, this is my body that is broken for you. Eat this as often as you do, in remembrance of me. And in the same manner, he took the cup, and after he blessed it, he poured it out, and said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, that is poured out for you. Drink this as often as you do, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat of the bread and drink of the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again.
Now the community responds to the word of God. If anyone gathered here wishes to accept Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, rededicate your life to God, or transfer into the fellowship of this congregation, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing our invitational hymn, which is number 546 in the Chalice Hymnal, Amazing Grace. Let's sing verses 1 and 2. Before we bow our heads for the benediction, I'd like to again invite you to the food and fellowship that awaits us in the fellowship hall at the coffee hour. And also, I've been informed that the ladies are getting things ready and would like to ask, especially parents and visitors, when we conclude, if you might head up these stairs right over here, you can head up and visit the rooms and take a look at them before heading over. And by the time you get there, then all the food will be ready to go. Now, let us bow our heads for the benediction. Go forth with strength for the journey. Our hearts singing God's praises, for Christ lifts us up from the raging waters of life. Our spirits rejoice in our salvation, for the Holy Spirit guides us forth with dreams full of hope and promise. Go forth secure in the one who is faithful. Amen.